Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Welcome to the Hollywood Casino Press Box with your host, Frank Cusimano.
Here's the pitch. Right there, there it is! Into left field! It's number 3,000! A run is scored! Musial around first! On his way to second with a double!
The best interviews and the most informed insight.
McGaffey breaking free, has a seam, and a crease. The kicker can't trip him up. Headed for the end zone. Will it be back-to-back weeks? Yes!
All tied together with the experience of over 20 years of local broadcasting excellence in St. Louis.
Now Stasny gets away from a check to Fabry. Wide open!
Now, here is Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Good morning and welcome. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Frank Cusimano with you until 12 o'clock. I think we have a good program lined up for you today. Actually, I got to get out a tad early because the Blues are practicing at the Mills. We're going to have Darren Pang at 10:30. Martin will be here at 11 o'clock. And we'd like to have you on the program. We have the Maryville University phone lines. We appreciate Maryville University, maryville.edu, being one of our great sponsors on the program, 855-282-8255. We also have our text lines, 855-282-8255. Our opening monologue is brought to you by Gateway Motorsports Park. And let's begin with lap one. And let's begin with the Blues. So you wanted home ice, and many wanted the Predators because of the Blues' success against Nashville this season. Blues got neither. But it's not bad. It's interesting, because Doug Armstrong used the same words in describing Winnipeg, hard and heavy, that I read about last night on one NHL preview talking about Winnipeg. Hard and heavy. They're definitely a little heavier and a little better with Dustin Byfuglien back. But here's the thing. Here's what you got to remember. The Blues are 20 games over 500 in 2019. The Jets are 4 games over 500, and that's 17th in the league. Blues are first in the West. Here's one more item. Who would you really rather face in a 7-game series? Pekka Rinne or Connor Hellebuyck? I think I'd rather face Hellebuyck. Not a bad goalie. But Pekka Rinne at his best is better than Connor Hellebuyck at his best. Lap two. I'm not sure where the flaw is with this team right now. You have a goaltender who's allowing the fewest goals in the league per game, 1.89. And his save percentage is .927. You have the best scoring year in the league by your defensemen. You make history, your own franchise history, with 3 defensemen going over 10 goals. And you're trotting out 4 lines. 4 lines that you have a lot of confidence in. And one of them is insanely good. Think about it. Vladimir Tarasenko is now alone with Alexander Ovechkin as the only players in the league with 30 or more goals over the last 5 years. Another is your MVP. Ryan O'Reilly could win the Selke, and he has the most points by any Blues player in 16 years. Got to go back to Pavel Dimitra. And Braden Schenn was your all-star last year and is still complete. It's been 52 years. Why not now? That should be the slogan. Why not now? You win a long series against the Jets, come back and get the Preds, somehow beat the Flames, and then you face Tampa Bay and their 128 points in the Stanley Cup Finals. What is success for you? I'll tell you, I think if you win 2 rounds, that's a really good year. But why not everything? Let's hear from some NHL Network guys, Mike Johnson and Dave Reed, on the series.
This feels like a tight series. I think St. Louis is not going to give you anything easy. Jordan Binnington has been a revelation since he's arrived in St. Louis, locking things down. I don't know if it comes down to home ice, which Winnipeg secured on the last day of the regular season, but it feels like this one is going to go back and forth. And just can St. Louis continue to play the same way? And will Winnipeg have another level, another gear to get to? Because they haven't been at their best the last 2 months, probably.
They're going to have to find another level when you're playing St. Louis Blues, the best team in the National Hockey League pretty much since January 1st. They've been absolutely outstanding. They've got it going on all levels. But the Winnipeg Jets, I think, in my mind, have got the goaltending. Jordan Binnington, yes, he's had a fantastic season. The playoffs are at another level. Connor Hellebuck has been there. And you talk about home ice. Did that really matter to Winnipeg or Nashville last year?
No.
This is going to be a very interesting series, very tight series. I expect this to be a seven-game series. Connor Hellebuck, I think, is going to be the difference in the series because both teams can score on multiple levels. Both teams' defense have been playing extremely well. It'll be interesting to see if Josh Morrissey's back. He was skating with a contact jersey, so he said he was ready to come back, but he didn't play in the final game. It'll be interesting to see when he gets into the series. He, in my mind, can be a big difference maker as well if he can play the way he's played in the regular season. But to me, goaltending is going to make the difference. It's the experience of Hellebuck from last year's playoffs to the young Jordan Binnington who got the St. Louis Blues to where they are. So it's going to be a fun series to watch.
Yes, it will.
Boy, that is, it's all about the goaltender. Man, it's going to be fun. Wednesday night in Winnipeg, game one. All right, lap three. Adam Wainwright. I think that there really is a percentage of Cardinal fans who would like to see it end, or before yesterday would just like to see him go away. So they didn't like seeing and hearing this.
The 0-2. Swing and a miss. He struck him out. He got him a strikeout. That's three today.
Did he hit anything?
And a swing and a miss. 2-2 pitch. Check swing and a strikeout, number seven. 3-2 again. He got him. Nine strikeouts, Adam Wainwright.
Wow. How about that? Nine Ks, no walks. That's an Adam Wainwright outing. Only one Cardinal pitcher in history has more strikeouts than Adam Wainwright. And he was on the field with a red jacket on Friday afternoon. His name is Gibson. What did he hit on the gun?
Topped out a 93.
93. All right. You know what's fascinating? A lot of times, guys who have incredible resumes, they get the benefit of the doubt later in their career. Oh, yeah, he's a great player. But with Waino being 37, when he has a bad outing, like he did in Pittsburgh, you assume, okay, he's 37 years old, he's shot. But some veteran guys get the benefit of the doubt. Now, with Waino, has that bad outing, instead of thinking, you're thinking about his age 37 instead of the other 37, as in degrees, and it's tougher to grip a ball, and sometimes guys just don't pitch well when it's really cold. Now, I know Chris Archer didn't have an issue that day. But with Wainwright, there was such a heavy percentage of fans after that first outing and after what we've seen recently, and looking at his age, he's done. Bottom line, it was compelling to watch him throw the ball to Yadier Molina. He started throwing the ball to Yadier Molina 13 years ago. Now, I know to our younger male audience, that doesn't seem that long. But if you start getting up in your 40s and your 50s, and you think you could do something the same like that you did 13 years ago, it's impossible. Take yourself back and athletically imagine, at least for 3 hours, being every bit as good as you were 13 years ago. And that's what he was yesterday. It's one game. He needs to have about 10 more of these. Here's the one and only Adam Wainwright after yesterday's win.
It's similar stuff, the way I pitched in spring training with a little more adrenaline, obviously. I mean, that's what I was expecting. You know, I think I went through a little body shock in Pittsburgh. I was used to pitching in Florida, man, you know, and tried to pump myself up for 32, but I don't know what happened, but I knew coming into today I needed to be at a better place mentally. When I'm good mentally, I'm usually pretty good physically. So tried to give myself a better chance to succeed out there with being very focused and making good pitches.
Lap four. The national championship game. Virginia, Texas Tech, 8:20 tonight. It doesn't have the mainstream appeal, but if you love the game, you'll like the matchup. More on that in just a moment. Virginia Auburn had the most fascinating ending in a long time. First, Ty Jerome double dribbled. He dribbled off his foot. He picked the ball up, and he dribbled again. Now, I give Jerome credit. for selling it, for not hesitating after making the turnover. That was the whole key here. And playing like it never happened. It was brilliant. But I don't know how, and I granted, if you're just watching the game on TV, you probably don't pick it up. And I certainly didn't pick it up when I was watching it. But if you're an official and you're right behind him and you see him dribble off his foot and then pick it up, that's another thing. Now, I understand we fans watching on television, or even if you're in that building with, was there 70,000 there? How many people were there? You couldn't pick it up. But if you're an official and you're 8 feet away and you're supposed to be one of the best officials in the country and you see that right in front of you, I don't know how you miss that call. Now, everyone, though, is talking about the foul called on Samir Darty, who is a terrific player. He really is. He had a great game. He made a bad play. He did hip check Kyle Guy. He did. And I don't want to criticize college kids who play for free, or most of them do. But in that situation, you go straight up. You just can't risk it. Get a hand in his face. Get close to him, but you can't risk it. Now, he jumped first, but still, then don't jump. Just do everything you can, but don't foul him. People were complaining about the call. The call was correct. He was fouled. Now, you know what I really didn't see after the game, because I got caught up in the second game, was the Bruce Pearl press conference. He is an interesting interview. Let's hear the best of Bruce Pearl from Saturday.
I thought that we looked like we belonged. You know, we weren't supposed to be here. We weren't supposed to have a chance to win, or maybe had a chance to win, but unlikely. And just like we have done all year long, even when we got down, there was still time on the clock, and there were points to be scored, rebounds to be had. And I thought our kids made a lot of plays to be able to, you know, win the game. So in this, this will be a memorable game, and I'd like it to be remembered for a great game. And let's not remember this game because of just how it ended. Let's remember two teams that played really hard, that only had 13 turnovers combined, didn't shoot it very well because there was great defense, had nothing to do with the sight lines or the rims. I mean, we missed a lot of threes. We missed some open shots. But we played against a great defense. And it was a great college basketball game.
Well, that was well done by Bruce Pearl after the game. He was about to lose it. Did you see that? He was just about to lose it and get a T. Let's not forget the fact that Kyle Guy scored 6 points in 6 seconds. And that three before it was insane. I mean, that was a great shot. But, and there, by the way, you heard me talking during the soundbite, but 70,000. I thought you turn off mics during soundbites. No? I know in television it's essential. All right, lap five. The game tonight. Okay, you do have some star power. First-round draft choices, two of them will be on the floor. Jarrett Culver, Texas Tech, DeAndre Hunter, Virginia. You have some interesting coaches, too. Tony Bennett, who's the nicest big-time college coach in America. He's also one of the best. I'd love to see him cut down the nets tonight. And then there's Chris Beard. Two stints at junior colleges. He coached at Incarnate Word, Abilene Christian, North Texas. Man spent 10 years coaching with Bob Knight and Pat Knight. But he actually turned out likable. I don't know how that's possible. How did that happen? And then we had the player of the weekend so far. His name is Matt Mooney. He plays for Texas Tech. Now I want you to listen to this. He's a classic 2019 player in college basketball. Texas Tech is his third school. He's 24 years old. He's 3 years older than Jason Tatum. He's a grown man. And if Texas Tech wins a national title, he will be a major reason. He was just out of sight on Saturday. I mean, he was getting his own shot off the dribble. He was getting to the rim. So tonight's going to be a defensive affair. Tech held Michigan State to 21 points in the first half. I'd love to get your interest level now, because I know nationwide the interest level is not great. But give us a text. In fact, tell us on a 1 to 10 with every text, 855-282-8255, your interest level in the game tonight. I bet I'm going to see some fives, some fours, some threes. But mine's a 10. How about yours, Matt?
I go like 7 or 8 because I want to see what Jarrett Culver can do with all this attention on him. He came in with a nice streak late in that game to kind of lock it down. And then DeAndre Hunter is another future NBA player. Yeah. I want to see him.
You're right about Culver. He didn't do much, and then when he had to, he stepped up. Brian, your interest level?
Oh, 5, 6.
It's Virginia in a game. Of course, Hoffman's below average.
The national championship of college basketball. All right. Lap 6. Gateway Motorsports Park opening monologue. Oh, by the way, Matt Mooney has just received the ultimate compliment. Charles Tuna Edwards texting in. He's white and good. All right. Could Tennessee have an opening? Rick Barnes is a leading candidate for the UCLA job. How about this? You know, I'll tell you what, it kind of makes sense. He's losing a lot of great players to Tennessee. Actually, if they kept some of those guys in place at UCLA, he'd be inheriting maybe even a more talented team. And why not if you're UCLA? You have a chance to hire the Naismith Coach of the Year, a guy that everywhere he's gone just builds programs and wins. I mean, if you're UCLA, it's a no-brainer. Now, I did get a text and a phone call last night when this story started to break about Travis Ford, and would he be a fit at Tennessee if Rick Barnes were to go? And I was told a definitive no by a member of the Ford family. Drew Locke in Denver yesterday and today. Will the Broncos pull the trigger at 10? And we're hearing at least one scouting service had Locke moving ahead of Dwayne Haskins, who had about the greatest college football season I can remember. I mean, he was unbelievable. Look at those numbers. So, stay tuned there. Could Locke be moving in ahead of Haskins? A few food items. This one's kind of selfish. I did eat a Kimo's over the weekend, and the manicotti cannelloni red-white combo, you're dipping that in cheese bread, you have to smoke a cigarette afterwards. Unbelievable. Speaking of smoking a cigarette afterwards, Chris Gardner texted me, I guess it was Saturday, and he says, now, what do you order at the Olivet Garden? And I said, the Bananas Foster Waffle. That is something else. Finally, I have a question. Showers. Not the kind you take in the morning or after workout, but a shower you throw for somebody. And I really don't get the concept. See, there's a wedding that usually follows the shower. And the weddings are often big, from 100 to 250 people. People bring gifts to the wedding. People bring money to the wedding. You get an invite. You buy something that the person registers for. Or if you're an Italian, you just stuff some cash down the coat pocket of the groom. So anyway, Monique throws a shower yesterday. 28 freaking people. 28 people who will be at that wedding in about a month. And they bring 28 gifts. Monique worked like a dog for this event. The theme was lily colors. So my house looked like a doll house. It looked like Liberace lived there for like 48 hours. Pink and purple balloons, pink and purple M&Ms, pink and purple flowers, napkins, cookies. And she, of course, is yelling at me to clean this, clean that. I'm watching The Sopranos at 10:30 on Saturday, and she's still vacuuming on Saturday night. Now, I heard the food was going to be great because Straub's provided the chicken salad on croissants, and it was great. I pounded down some last night at about midnight. So I told her that going in, by the way, that if she didn't save, you know, or put away a lot of good food for me, I was going to, if she didn't commit to doing that, I was going to disrupt the shower by showing up at the party in a Tony Soprano bathrobe with a wife beater and just kind of stroll along in my slippers there. That's my new goal in life, is to have a wife beater, a white bathrobe, and slippers, and just kind of stroll in the kitchen every day. I'll tell you, right, you're right, Brian. The show just gets better every season. We're like mid-season four, and it just can't get any better. Wow. All right, those are some of my thoughts. Let's hear yours. The Blues, are you bullish? What is success for you? Two rounds enough, or does it have to be more? Waino after yesterday, does he have 10 to 12 wins in him? And interest level in tonight's national championship game. We'll take a short time out when we come back. Darren Pang.